Chodesh to everyone. It's a pleasure to be teaching the OU Center and teaching in general, because with this corona, it's been a very sparse teaching. I'd like to, for I haven't done it in a long time, to dedicate the shiur in addition to the Ilui Nishmat of the whole shiur today to Mordechai ben Rav Chaim David and Shprinz bas Rav Avraham Yaakov, Frimit bas Rav Avraham Yaakov. Anyway, so today the topic I wanted to discuss is being Rosh Chodesh of, you know, obviously the Tishat HaYamim have started. We're counting down to Tisha B'Av. I wanted to discuss, you know, why do we need a Beis HaMikdash? This, you know, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av, you know, we're mourning for it, obviously. And what are we, not so much what are we mourning, what are we mourning for? I know we've all heard about the discussion, how we never experienced it ourselves, at least in our life today, our neshama did. And so it's so hard to mourn or to feel for something that we really don't know what it's about. That's not what I want to go into. I want to know, like, practically, why do we need a Beis HaMikdash? What does it do for us? Many of you, I know we can't have the usual give and take during the shiur that that I usually have in my classes, but I'm hearing your thoughts. Many of you are thinking, like, what does she mean? The Beis HaMikdash is a makom of kapara, the ultimate kapara, you know, whatever avera we've done, we go there, we bring the karban, whichever it is, and sometimes not avera, but it's a place, the ultimate of, you know, getting kapara for anything we may have done through the karbanos. Today I'd like to discuss maybe a different side to that, something that maybe people maybe didn't even realize the Beit HaMikdash does for us, besides kapara, besides giving thanks to Hashem also sometimes with different karbanos. What does it do? And also to maybe elaborate on the question is that, again, why do we need a Beis HaMikdash if we have the Torah? The Torah is not dependent on a certain structure that we sometimes have in history and sometimes don't. The Torah is, you know, throughout, we know it's the blueprint of the world. So why do we need a Beis HaMikdash? We have the Torah that made us, you know, Hashem's chosen people, you know, brought us to a level with Hashem that we, you know, didn't have before. Level that no other nation has. So why isn't Torah enough? Why do we need a Beis HaMikdash? What does it do for us more than Torah does? So I'd like to start out with something written by the Baal Shem Tov. It's actually one of his commentaries on Parshat Truma. The first time a Beis HaMikdash is ever mentioned, right? The famous Psukim in Truma when Hashem says to Moshe, Basuli Mikdash v'shachanti betocham. Make me a mikdash and I will dwell in them. I'm not going to go into the question of single, plural, make me a mikdash, I'll dwell in them, although that may be answered during the shiur, just on the side. The Baal Shem Tov writes as follows. He says, as again, this is quoting from the Baal Shem Tov on Parsha Truma. He says that, Kol Adam Tzirich Lasit Etzot B'Nafsho. I apologize, by the way, I tried to send in a source sheet, but the only one I could find in this hacking mess was one that had too much writing of my own on it, so it wasn't really legible for you all. But maybe I can send to Zmir afterwards when I find, you know, a clear, clean one, and it'll be maybe archived or something that you can download. So the Baal Shem Tov says, "Shekol adam tzirich lasit aitzot b'nafsho lahafoch lasot midot tovot mikol asher yidven libo mehatavot hachitzoniot." Every person is supposed to build ideas, create ideas in his or her soul in order, I'm going to read the second part first, in order to take all the ta'avot chitzoniot, all the external desires that that person has, and lahafoch la'asot midot tovot, to turn those into midot tovot. Okay? We're going to explain that with a mashal, what that means. And not only that, not only to take the desires we have, the leanings, the, you know, feelings we have that are chitzoni, that are more external, they're not necessarily spiritual, but more physical and material, not only to take those, but also midot ha-ra'ot asher hirgil bahem, any kind of bad midot, any kind of negative behaviors that we have become accustomed to, that we've become used to, mehem yikach derech la'avodat ha-barei baruch hu. From those bad behaviors, from those negative leanings and those negative midot that we have, we're supposed to take from them a way to serve Hashem. In other words, again, we're supposed to take any kind of negative behavior, any kind of bad patterns that we have, and any physical desire, and we're supposed to use it to serve Hashem, which sounds like something we've heard all the time, right? You use the physical for the spiritual. We're going to deepen that, though. And Rav Sadia Gaon adds on to this, the Ben Parat Yosef quotes the Rav Sajid Gaon on this idea, saying that Ra'oi la'adam lachshok b'chol hadvarim hagashmiim umitocho yavol lachshok b'toro v'avodat Hashem. A person is supposed to want to desire material and physical things in order to turn it into avodat Hashem. Not just that, you know, we happen to get into certain desires and certain things. A person is supposed to actively try to lachshok, like cheshek. You're supposed to want, you're supposed to really desire physical material things just to turn it into avodat Hashem. That's probably where the Gemara, or I guess Rav Sajid Gaon, is taking a little bit off the Gemara and Kedushin that we've most, it's very widely popular, widely quoted. In Yerushalmi, the Kedushin of 4:12 that says a person will have to answer for anything that his eye beheld, excuse me, and he did not consume. In other words, there's an idea that everything out in the world we're supposed to want to desire, we're supposed to build a desire in us for it, to use it to serve Hashem. Again, we're going to explain that later. So the Baal Shem gives a mashal. What does this mean? He says, mashal amelach shehaya lo ben. There was a king who had a son, right? King, princes, usually mashalim that they give. The king wanted to teach his son certain wisdoms, if I can pluralize wisdom, that he would need as a future ruler. So he hired for him, he hired a number of wise people to learn with his son. One would teach him communication skills, one would teach him financial responsibility, etc., anything he would need to be a future leader. The son, I don't know, thick-headed, whatever, he was not able to acquire or to really internalize any of the chachma that these men were trying to teach him. Different teachers, different, you know, specialties. He was not able to. And all of them left. They said to the king, sorry, it's just no hope. Your son is hopeless and, you know, we're not going to continue learning with him. One chacham nishari imo. But there was one wise man who figured maybe for the money, who knows, stayed with him and continued trying to teach him. Hamachat Ra ben Hamelech Eza, here it says Bitula. He saw a young woman in another, actually I saw this mashal quoted in another source, and that will be the Nitzivot Shalom actually, and he calls her a woman of ill repute. And the prince saw her and he liked her. He wanted to speak with her and who knows what. So the Chacham saw this, and the Chacham all of a sudden had an idea. He told the girl, the woman, I want you to refuse to speak to or, you know, connect at all with this prince unless he learns a certain chachma, unless he becomes wise. And that's what she did. Maybe he had to pay her money to this, whatever. And she refused to speak to the prince until you learn, you know, until you become smarter. So the prince went back to the chacham and he started learning all the chachmas they tried to teach him. And sure enough, after one chachma, he came to her, she says, no, you have to learn another one. The chacham was telling her, make him learn another. And so she would send the prince back, he would learn another chachma, he would come back to her, she says, no, you have to learn another one. And finally, the prince learned all the chachmot that he was meant to learn. Interestingly or ironically, when he got to be so wise, he realized, what do I need her for? She's a woman of ill repute. I'm a ben melech. I should marry someone on my status, another princess. And so in the end, he rejected her, poor thing, I guess, you know, she tried so whatever, and it turned on her. And he instead went and he decided that he was going to be married only to a bat melech. The nimshal, the Baal Shem Tov says, is muvan me'alav, it's understood. Obviously, the woman of ill repute, the betula, symbolizes all our desires, these negative behaviors that the Baal Shem Tov was talking about earlier. And these negative behaviors have to be turned into something that is actually used to serve Hashem. And Baal Shem Tov, one more idea that I want to quote him for. It's a pasuk that he quotes from Shir HaShirim. Ma yafit ma na'amt ahava b'tanugim. How beautiful and how pleasant you are is the love of pleasure. And he says that shebechol hatanugim hu ha'ava elyona. In all of the pleasure in the world today, there is ahava elyona. Ahava elyona is a Kabbalistic term that's written about in all the works of Kabbalah, whether Baal Shem Tov and Maharal, we'll talk about in a minute, or and, you know, anything. It's a concept in Kabbalah. To explain it, the following: there's a love that we have with another, right? And it can be spousal, it can be child, it can be friend, etc. But there's a higher love than that. Ahava Elyona is the love that was before anything was created. Now, we're always told in all the Shirim Leitek that the greatest love is the love of two, right? Two other people, you know, with each other. But there's actually a greater love than that. It is the love with which the world was created. And again, having said the love with which the world was created means there was a love before there was any other. And this is a love that I, you know, want to use a mashal to explain. It might not be the perfect mashal, that, you know, sometimes a parent, if need be, could give, let's say, a shot to a child, if need be. You know, chashon, let's say, they need insulin. A parent knows it's for the child's best, and the parent could give a shot, let's say, to a child. But oftentimes, the parent cannot give a shot to him or herself. Whether we want to admit or not, there's a love we have for ourselves that's greater than the love we have for anyone else. And again, that survival instinct, that's, you know, it's common sense, it should be like that. The love of, and it sounds like it's like ego, it's haughty, it's gaiva. It's not. It's a basic love that exists, the love of I am, of being. I love that I am. Again, you can take it to haughty, ego, gaiva kind of love, which is negative, but this is not a negative love. It's the essence of love of I am. I hope that's clear. You know, later you ask me questions if it's not. The proof is, excuse me, the Torah says, the greatest love you can show another is the love that you have, if you can love them like kamocha, like you love yourself. It's, again, for some people, this is, you know, common sense, you understand. Some people are like, what are you talking about? It sounds selfish. It's not. It's a love, aval yona, before there is another to love. And of course, even psychology today says you have to love yourself before you can love anyone else, right? Therapy and all that says, if you don't love yourself, you're going to have a hard time with relationships. There's certain aval yona, and shall yidei hitorut zot hatanu b'tivo yakel lelva tabarei baruchu. This Ahava Elyona was put into everything in creation. And when we sample anything in creation, it could be, you know, it doesn't have to be like if we taste something, if we see something, you know, different pleasures for different people. Some people, a sunrise is the ultimate pleasure. Some people, food is the ultimate pleasure. Some people, music, you know, it doesn't matter which sense we use to enjoy that pleasure. Whatever pleasure we enjoy in the world has in it a core and a little spark of the Ahava Elyona. And the reason why all these rabbis are telling us you should, you know, enjoy everything in the world and you should do everything in the world for Hashem is because that Ahava Elyona, when we ingest that pleasure, audio, visual, you know, eating, whatever it is, the Ahava Elyona kind of lights a spark in us to love Hashem. That's why we're being told all the time to, and Rav Sajagon says you should want to desire things in the world. Gemara says anything, you're going to be asked why you didn't. Because all the different things in the world, yet also sunset and also food and also, all of them have a certain Ahava Elyona that when we eat them, it triggers in us a love of Hashem. And Hashem did this because, Baal Shem Tov says, he put us into this world with a lot of things that seem to take us away from him. Things that seem just physical and material. They're not spiritual, at least on, you know, on the outside. And Hashem said, I want to make it easier for them to love me. You know, the ultimate goal that we have in our life is to come close and love Hashem. He said, so I did that by, even in the physical material things, I put a little like trigger, a little spark of Ahava Elyona that'll help them love me. Okay? So having said this, I want to now turn to, So we have Ahava Elyona in everything. We're supposed to enjoy this world, and every tanug brings, is it something we should use to serve Hashem, to, you know, hafoch our midot to midot tovot in order to serve Hashem. So before I develop this point further, I want to go to the question of why does the Beis HaMikdash do this and why isn't Torah enough? The Torah certainly teaches us how to use everything to serve Hashem and what is good and what is bad and the lo taseh and the aseh. All of these are ways we serve Hashem. Why isn't that enough? Why do we need a Beis HaMikdash to do it? For this, I want to turn to the Maharal, in his Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, which is actually, he quotes in the Sefer, his Sefer Gvuros Hashem, okay? And again, I'm going to read from the Maharal. I'm sorry, again, I didn't have a spreadsheet that was clean enough to present to you. He says the following. There are chamesh esrei ma'alot tovot l'makom aleinu. There are 15 things Hashem did. I hope it sounds familiar because, again, if I could ask you, I'd have someone answer. But there are 15 things Hashem did, ma'alot they're called. 15 ma'alot that Hashem did for us. Again, from the word ma'alot, we're going to see that each thing is something that the next thing is higher, the next thing is higher, the next thing is higher. If you haven't thought of it by now, the 15 things that Hashem did for us, the ma'alot, aleinu, it should sound familiar because we say it once a year. Some people, chutzar, say twice a year at the Seder Shel Pesach, are the 15 dayenus. We call them the dayenus, but they're really, and I have actually a Haggadah here that I brought out. Kama ma'alot tovot l'makam aleinu. That's what Maharal, the ma'alot tovot, the great elevations that Hashem did for us. Okay? These are the 15 ma'alot, the 15 elevations, the 15 Hashem, the 15 things Hashem did to elevate us more and more and higher and higher and higher. Okay? And so the 15 things Maharal says, he did 15 things, and then he says, Kaitzar ha-malchim begeder ma'alin bekodesh. Each one, or I should say each one that follows, is a higher level of Kedusha that Hashem gave to us. They are 15 things that ma'alin bekodesh, that raise a person up in holiness, in Kedusha. Okay? Hinei shlosha ma'alot ha-achronot. So if you remember, if you're singing it now, right, if you're singing the Dayanus, I know you know them by heart. The last three, if you remember, that Hashem did for us, okay, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to use it because I'm... The last three, if you remember, are, right? You're singing it, you're up to the last three. Shenatan lanu et haTorah. I'm not singing it for you because, you know, 9 days we can't sing, right? Shenatan lanu et haTorah. Hechnisanu le'eretz Yisrael. Banan lanu et beit habechira. Right? Here, not lying, here they are. Hashem, the last three did, if you can see. It sounds familiar to you. He gave us the Torah, he brought us into Eretz Yisrael, and he banal lanu beit habechira. He built us a beit hamikdash. So, according to this, it's pretty obvious. We can end the shir here. Obviously, beit hamikdash is something greater than even Matan Torah and even Eretz Yisrael because it's the last one. And if we're going up in Kedusha, if the last one is the one that's the highest in Kedusha, that must be the highest one. But we're going to develop more. I'm not going to leave it there because we have a lot of time left. So Maharal says, the last two he says are the Natanu et haTorah, Chinsanu et Yisrael, Banalu et Beit HaBechira. V'katav al kein, by the way, my thing, if I'm talking too fast, which I probably am, I see writing, please tell me to slow down, right? You know that with me, those of you who know me, I unfortunately, so if I'm talking too fast, please write, please slow down, and I will. Katav al kach sham b'gvurot Hashem. So the Maharal writes in Gvurot Hashem, ויותר מזה שנתן התורה הוא דבוק יותר, ויותר מזה שהכניסם לארץ ישראל, right? דבוק יותר, ויותר שבנה להם בית הבחירה, שזה הרי בית המקדש הוא פסגת הדבקות בין ישראל להשם. So he says, from the last one before he gave us the Torah, which by the way, if you remember in your singing, was Natanu et haShabbat, that's our Shabbos. He gave us Shabbos. More than that, this is Maharal writing, is that he brought us to Har Sinai. More than that is that he gave us into Eretz Yisrael, and more than that is that he built us a base of Mikdash. Okay? So, what does this mean? Obviously, Matan Torah was a huge, huge step in Dveikut B'Hashem, but more than that was that Hashem brought us into Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? Think about it. There are certain people that you're friends with. You like to meet with them. You maybe have coffee with them or go to a shir with them. But you wouldn't invite them into your home. Not because they're bad. Your home is a very private, intimate place. Okay? Even, you know, just how you decorate, how it looks, tells people a lot about you. And there are certain people, while you might be friends with them, you won't want them in your home. Take it from me. 3 days ago, I did not want Muhammad and Jawad and the other movers in my house, but I had no choice. There's certain people you don't want in your house. It's too private a place that you don't want them in there. The fact that Hashem brought us into Eretz Yisrael, into his private house, right, shows a lot. It shows a dveikut, even more than Matan Torah, which was in the desert, in the Midbar, right, was I see someone's asking Matan Torah. We were, how can it be higher? I'm going to get to that. That's what I'm getting to. Why is Beis HaMikdash higher than Matan Torah? I'm getting there. So I'm just trying to explain why the Ma'alot go from Har Sinai, right, Matan Torah, to Eretz Yisrael, because that, and the Gemara quotes, how can it be Eretz Yisrael is even greater? Because it says in the Gemara, right, he's quoting the Gemara Ketuvos, Kuf Yud, Kol Hadar B'chutz La'aretz Kilu Ein Lo Eloka. Anyone who lives outside Eretz Yisrael, it's like no God. If, I don't know if people are on from Chutz La'aretz as well on this, Zoom video. Sorry, but that's the Gemara, not me. Ketuvot Kuf Yud. Okay, that's where it's from. You can look it up. So Eretz Yisrael is even a higher Madrig of Dveikut, and then higher than that is building a Beit HaMikdash. And again, the question, which I know some of you are thinking, why? What makes it greater than Matan Torah and greater than Eretz Yisrael? In order to answer that, we're going to look at the Maharal and Gevurot Hashem quotes this little machloket between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Akiva as to where lekicha, taking, happened. Lekicha means that we took Hashem to be our Hashem, and Hashem took us as his people. It works two ways. Lekicha, according to them, is the taking. What is the taking? Us taking Hashem as our God, as our Hashem, and him taking us as his chosen nation. Okay? So they have a machloket. So Rabbi Akiva is cholek on Rabbi Elezer. He is cholek. He dissents. He disagrees with Rabbi Elezer. Bahadarat sof lekicha. Where was the epitome? Where was the end, the climax of lekicha? Rabbi Akiva says it was Binyan Beit HaMikdash. And Rabbi Eliezer says it was Matan Torah. So for whoever you wrote just now that how can it be great Matan Torah, at least you have someone that agrees with Rabbi Eliezer would say that the highest epitome of Lekicha was Matan Torah. So you have someone on your side, or you're on his side, whichever. Ach miyas ver lamar kishitosa mikach mechuyav tulat hatchilat Lekicha b'sofa. So where does it come from? So Maharal asks, why are Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer arguing about which the end of the highest, the sof, the climax of Lekicha was a Matan Torah, was a Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Because Maharal figured out, he says, the Machlokas started with, where was the beginning? He's saying they're talking about two different things. They're talking about Lekicha and Dveikus. Okay? Lekicha is the beginning of a relationship. I take you to be mine, you take me to be yours. That's Lekicha, that's taking. Okay, and we have it in certain places where the Gemara and other places say that a man takes a wife, right? Doesn't mean like, you know, in the olden days, you know, take her by the hair into the, you know, cave. It means you take someone, you begin the relationship. So Rabbi Akiva says that, I don't want to miss my place. So Rabbi Akiva says the beginning was Matan Torah, and Rabbi Akiva says the beginning was Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, I'm going to repeat it again because it might get confusing. Let's go with Rabbi Eliezer first. Rabbi Eliezer says the beginning of Lekicha, of taking us as a relationship, starting a relationship, was Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says it started there. He took us as a, right? You know, you can say V'lakachti, well, actually, according to Rabbi Eliezer, V'lakachti would mean at Yetzias Mitzrayim, I took you as my people, you took me as your God, you said you're going to follow me. He says it's Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says the epitome of that was Matan Torah. After you, we decided we're going to be in a relationship. We, you know, the engagement, the Matan Torah was the engagement, etc., was the marriage. That was the end of it. That was the high point of it. Rabbi Akiva says, I want to quote, Hare Maral Levi Dalat Atrikhti Besofa. Rabbi Akiva, Ledat Rabbi Akiva, Loha Ya Matan Torah Tachlit Dveikut, Bo Rak Binyan Beita Bechira. Rabbi Akiva says that the beginning of the relationship could not be Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why not? Because I'll give you this kind of way of saying it. You can't take someone in a relationship unless they are a certain age of maturity, right? I mean, you can have a relationship. I mean, yes, you can have a relationship parent to child of a 3-year-old, but we're talking, let's talk about a marriage relationship, because that's what we're talking about with Asin Hashem. There's certain debate to marriage you don't have with a child or with a neighbor or anywhere else, right? You can't marry someone unless they're a certain age of maturity, right? That's understood. Rabbi Akiva says, Yetziat Mitzrayim, we weren't mature. We weren't anywhere near mature. Yetziat Mitzrayim got us out of all the junk, the 49 levels of Tumah, that we had been in when we were in Mitzrayim. And it got us to a certain stage where we could now begin to think about maybe having a relationship. And he says it in court. He says, you can't have any kind of lekicha unless you get out of all the junk. Or again, if you want to use a relationship, you can't start a relationship, a true relationship with someone, unless you get out of all the other relationship you've had. You know, Baruch Hashem, the Jewish people, we don't have that. But you can't. You have to get out of the junk that you were in order to even think about starting a new relationship, a real relationship. So according to Rav Yezer, Yitzim Mitzrayim was the beginning of Lekicha. We said, okay, Hashem, we're going to follow you on our power. Hashem said, you're in your nation, I'm taking you out. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it can't be. Yitzim Mitzrayim was just getting out of all the junk that we should be mature enough to start thinking about, oh, do I want to get married or not, according to Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, he says, the beginning of Lekicha was Matan Torah. Oh, you like me, I like you. I mean, again, I don't mean to bring it down to that, but I'm trying to keep the mashal going. Oh, that's the beginning of the relationship, the beginning of Lekicha. You know, I might want to have a relationship with you. And then he brought us into Eretz Yisrael, say, here, look at my home. You can have all this. Don't look at this, but whatever. You can have all this if you come and have a relationship with me, Hashem says. I'll be with you in Eretz Yisrael like I won't be with anyone outside of Eretz Yisrael if you have a relationship with me. You know, if you marry me, this will be your home, your palace. Okay? And then it was sealed with the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Maral says, I understand what's going on here with the machlokas between them. They're saying it started this stage and this stage. She says, there's a difference between lekicha and dveikus. This is Maral. I'm just not quoting it now because here, I can quote it to you, so, but I don't want to waste time finding it because it's a lot. I'll find it. Go. So he says, here, let's go back to the, he's explaining it now with the, he says, hine chamesh ha-ma'alot ha-rishonot. The first five ma'alot, remember Dayenu? And now Maral's explaining the whole machlokas. The first five Dayenus, remember? Hotzianu Mitzrayim, Asabahem Shfatim, Asaba Eloheim, Haragas Bechareim, and Natanlo et Memonam. The first five, he says, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Lezer, this was the beginning of Lekicha. Look, I'm killing them off. I'm giving you their money. I'm trying to show you that, you know, be with me, not with them. Rabbi Akiva says, no, this was getting us out of that. Take the, you know, get rid of all of it. That was the beginning of like getting us to mature level. So Maharal said, the first five ma'alot, rishonot, right? He quotes them, lo haya el Yisrael hitalut, ki kulam hayu ha'yitiyam Yitzrayim. You can't really say that it did anything for Bnei Yisrael. Taking us out of Mitzrayim, okay, you're going to say it did something, but all that did again is take us out of foreign and levels of Tumah. It didn't bring us up in Kedusha, or it didn't bring us to Dveikus. It wasn't even Lekicha, according to Rabbi Akiva. It was just getting us out of that quagmire, out of that quicksand that we were in. So the first, according to Maharal, didn't give any elevation to Bnei Yisrael. Kulam hayu ha'yitzam Mitzrayim. She'ein ze nechshav rak she'ayu yotzim la'or. Shleimot ha'metziyot. It's, and Maral seemingly agrees with Rav Akiva. It was like taking him out of the darkness and just bringing them to light. It wasn't anything. It was just getting to that first stage of being able to maybe go somewhere from there. That was the first ma'alot, okay? And then he says, the next five, right, which are, with me, Karalanu Atayam, Heveranu B'tocho B'charaba, Shikat Tzareinu B'tocho, which means he drowned our oppressors in it. Sapek Tzarkinu B'midbar B'mshana, right? And gave us Shabbos, excuse me. The next five, he says, according to Rabbi Elazar, this is already going to be the Sof of the kids, getting us to the stage of Matan Torah. This is like the Lekicha, right? The first stage, right, of the relationship. The next five, Maral says, are hatchala lekicha, right? To start coming to a place where you can start dveikut. So again, if it's confusing, the first five got us out of darkness to light. Didn't do anything really to us, okay? The second five are lekicha, right? Starting to take us, he split the sea, drowned our oppressors, sustained us 40 years in the Midbar. It's showing a relationship building here. I'm helping you. I'm doing for you, etc. Right? And gave us Shabbat, gave us the man, excuse me, and gave us, those are five, right? Right. The next five, he says, are the beginning of Lekicha. He's taking us and showing us we have a special relationship with him, right? And the five last ones gave us Shabbos, gave us Torah, gave us Eretz Yisrael, and gave built us Beis HaMikdash. Where is the fifth one? Shabbos, Matan Torah, Karban Lufnei Har Sinai, the two. He brought us to Har Sinai. He then gave us the Torah. He gave us Eretz Yisrael and he gave us the Beis HaMikdash, he said. These are the five final stages that bespeak Dveikus. And again, the beginning of Dveikus is he gave us Shabbos. He gave us a time that we can be davuk to him. He can be a time in the year, in our days, in the dimension of time. He gave us a way to be davuk. Okay, that was Shabbos. And then he gave us a birth to Matan Torah. Right, that was another thing of yichud. He brought us to Matan Torah before giving us the Torah. Actually, he brought us in a state of yichud, of purity, of kedusha. Right, we were all cured from everything. Right, that was another davuk. I'm going to make you all healthy and cured from any ailment you had, and I'm going to, you know, have that all the kolot and brakim, all the miracles and everything. Another stage of dveikut, giving us the Torah, which is now we have this, you know, engagement ring, the diamond ring, the seal of that we are now married to each other. Right, another stage of dveikut. So Maral says the five last ones, which show dveikut, he says each one goes up. Okay, Shabbos in time, Har Sinai, he says Torah. Right? That's another high level of Dveikut, he says. But the highest level of Dveikut is Beis HaMikdash. Okay? According to my Rabbah. So now let's see why that is. Okay? Now that I set it up for you, right? The machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar, we understand the difference of Lekicha and Dveikut. So the Rabbah says Rabbi Akiva is talking Dveikut and Rabbi Elazar is still talking about Lekicha. He says that's why they're in Cholikon. Why should they be Cholikon each other? Two great minds. Why should they? Because one, it's just a misunderstanding, not a misunderstanding, but a different use of semantics. One is talking about the way you get the derech to lekicha, and one is talking about the way you get to dveikus. Okay, he says, but when we're talking about dveikus, which starts with Shabbos, Matan Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Beis HaMikdash, he says, obviously, he says in Beis HaMikdash is the sea, the piskat, the highest level of dveikus. And why is that? Now we're getting to the crux of it. Okay, to get to the crux of it, we're going to look at the Netivot Shalom. Again, I'm sorry, this was I couldn't send it to you. It's all written on, but whatever. Netivot Shalom says, hine inyan Beit HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the end all, the collection of Kedusha, of existence, and the Neshama of all the Bria. The Beis HaMikdash was the Neshama of all the Bria. Right? You just heard in the last year how the Aram, which was the crux of the Beis HaMikdash, was like this battery, right? She said, I'm forgetting her name. So it was like the battery, right? So the Netivot Shalom is actually, you know, playing on that and agreeing that, saying that the Beis HaMikdash was like the source of the neshama of existence of all the world. Okay. Shebetoch habriya betoch olam hitavot hashvalim v'harirudim huriyat karsh baruch hu el yon. He's saying something that Baal Shem Tov said. He's saying that in the world, with all the things that bring us down, the shvalim, all the low things, right? The material things, the physical things. Hayurudim, that bring people down, that lower people. Horida Kadosh Baruch Hu Or Elyon, Me'olamot Elyonim. Hashem put an Or Elyon. The Or Elyon is what Baal Shem Tov is referring to. I'm assuming, because it sounds right, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but that Ahava Elyona is part of the Or Elyon, that highlight that Hashem put into all these lowly things, the things that kind of seem to take us off our path of getting the book Baal Shem, the Vekas Baal Shem. And he put that in order, l'romeim et kol klal Yisrael, in order that he would help elevate us. Remember, as we said before, through all these seemingly physical, material things that bring us down, Hashem put the, according to Netivot Shalom, an or elyon, according to Baal Shem Tov, ahava elyona, into these things, in order to elevate us and to make us be able to love him and to be davuk to him. Okay? I see the time, so I'm going to skip a little bit to the crux of the whole shir, and he says, right? The whole point of a man being born into the world, of a person, human being born into the world, as we know, is to fix his neshama. Everyone has a certain inyan. It can be expressed in different things, in different midot, in different trials and tribulations, but everyone has a certain thing that they have to be metakin in this world. That thing is what the Yetzirah is mitkaber, you know, gets his, the Yetzirah snatches, you know, that person most in it, that snags that person most in it. And therefore he says, again, I'm just going to skip to the point now because I want to have time for questions. He says, And that thing, so that what is that thing that we're often talking? According to Rav Shem Tov, and then what the Nitzav Shem say, it's certain midot that are encapsulated in other things and other behaviors, but they all come from certain midot. That's the whole point of, you know, we're here. We're here to mitaken our midot. That it comes out in different trials and tribulations, different aspects. It's really a midah that we're here to mitaken, whether it's anger, jealousy, or stinginess, you know, whatever. The certain midah we have, that's the essence that we're here to mitaken. We're not here to mitaken how much we had or how much we didn't, or anything. We're here to fix a certain midah. And he says, here's the point, here's the... Umizeh niyeh mishkan u'mikdash. When we are mitaken that midah, we become a mikdash and a mishkan. Right? When it says that pasuk, asu mikdash v'shachan debitocham, if we make ourselves a mikdash by being mitaken, fixing that one midah that we have, the one midah that gets us in different ways, it's that one midah. If we're mitaken that midah, we become a mikdash, right? That Hashem can dwell in us. And he says, the limkor chiyut b'chin akusta d'chiyuta mimena yatchil shuv lehitkachadesh. Remember he said before, the Beis HaMikdash is a place where the ability to mitchadesh in our midot, and mitaken our midot, that's where it happened. In other words, what the Netivot Shalom Baal Shem are saying, the Beit HaMikdash was not just a place of kapara, although you could say that's, you know, where we fix ourselves. The Beit HaMikdash was a place where each person, when he went or she went there, the midah that they were created to mitaken, there was a special koach power in the Beit HaMikdash that would help them mitaken that midah. Yeah, I know it sounds, what, shocking? Yeah. The Beis HaMikdash was a place where when you went there, that midah you had, that you went there, it wasn't just a place of kapara. It was also a place of kapara, because as we said before, you got to get out of the muck and the mire to become davuk to Hashem. It had a power to zone in on the midah that we all had, that we all have, that we have to mitaken in the world, and it could help you. Again, you didn't come out perfect without that midah, and you'll never be angry again. But you came out with a new shot of, you know, no, you know, don't be angry. Let's help you not be angry. Let's help you not be jealous. Let's help you be more generous. Let's help you be more patient. You got an extra, it was like you're in, like your shot, your injection that you needed to help you mitaken that midah. That's what Beis HaMikdash was. Pretty amazing, right? The Netivot Shalom, the Ma'arav, they're all saying about how the Beis HaMikdash, that's why it was the height of Dveikus. Because after, you know, Shabbos Matan, the Matan certainly teaches you how to be Matakin Midos. It tells you all the do's and don'ts. For sure, it helps. It's the instruction. And that's huge, right? That's a huge part of Dveikus. It's like why it's the last one. That's why it's one of the last five. Eretz Yisrael is even bigger because when you're Eretz Yisrael, you have extra, and the old Gemara say, you quote them all over, and say, when you're Eretz Yisrael, you have extra chachma, you have a chachma to help you work on your Midos and Matakin Midos, right? But Beis HaMikdash did more than that. It wasn't just a place where you had instruction to do it and you had a little bit of, you know, Aristotle Kedusha. It's a place where it literally injected you with the, what am I trying to say? What do you, when we get injected, not the antidote, but the, someone knows out there, you're thinking, what are you trying to tell it to me? It gave you that injection of help work on anger, help work on patience, help work on whatever it was. That's the highest level of Dveikus. When Hashem is saying here, I'm helping you. I'm giving you the shot you need to do what you're supposed to do in this world. So the whole purpose of you being here, being mitaken the midah, I'm giving you an extra shot. When you come to Beis HaMikdash, you leave with that extra, what do I say? Not antibiotic, you know what I'm saying, that word that I can't think of. I gave you that extra, you know, antibiotic? Okay, thank you. Antibiotic, I'll go with that. That extra, and thank you so much. I love this. You can actually, that extra antibiotic to help you when you go back out to Beis HaMikdash, to help you be mitaken that midah even more. I want to end with a boost. Thank you. A booster shot. Yes, thank you, Pessy. I should have said the other one's name. It was, I forgot. But thank you, Pessy. I'm going to say names now. Sorry. Yeah, it gave you that booster shot to help you. I want to end with this example, I think. Inspiration. Thank you from D. Ham. Debbie or Devorah. I don't know who that is, but thank you. I want to end with this example that I heard from Ritz Hill, where I think can help us understand this point more. Ritz Hill tells a story when she was early on the years of Neve. She said that she had a girl in her class, in one of her classes. She could tell right away this girl was working through something. The girl, to say it nicely, was just not keeping herself very hygienically clean. Her hair was always messy and oily and who knows what. Her dress, her dress. She was just like, she sat in the back of the class. She listened, but you could tell she was going through something. So Renzel waited. And one day, of course, this girl comes over to her. It was actually after Shira when Renzel was talking about being metaken, you know, anything, or tshuva. It was a shir on tshuva, I believe. And the girl comes over and says, aren't there some things you can't do tshuva for? I mean, you're telling me you can do tshuva, but aren't there some things you just can't do tshuva for? So her teller said to herself, aha, now we're getting to it, whatever that is. She says, what do you mean? You know, she doesn't know what to really say. She doesn't want to, like, know, should I ask her or whatever? So the girl told her something that she did. The one I'm going to tell to you is, where Tehel heard this, she went to the Menahal of Neveh and said, this girl just told me something. She's obviously suffering from something that she did. What do I do? So the Menahal told her to go to a certain Rav who was not only the Yoetz of Neveh Yerushalayim, but a very great name, whose name I wish I could remember, and maybe it'll come to me. So Ritel went with the girl to this Rav. And she's thinking, how do I tell the Rav? How do I say it? How do I say the words there? So she said to the Rav, this girl has a sister who got married to a very nice man. And the man, her brother-in-law, this girl's brother-in-law, is very handsome. Very, very, very handsome. So handsome that a person, even a sister-in-law, could not maybe resist. Hameivin Yavin, that's what the girl was talking about. She was a little too close with her brother-in-law. Very, very too close. So the Rav got it right away, what she had done. And he said to her, and I love the fact the Rav was not like coding. He said, you did an awful thing. He said, the way you can, he said, but there is teshuva for everything. He says, the way you do teshuva for it, he says, what you did, he said, and I'm not using the exact words. He said something, but I'm going to embellish it. What you did, he said, where did that come from? Doing what you did with your brother-in-law, he said. It comes from, you know, we all know, and anyone who's taken any Musar, Shirin, whatever, and if you read the Musar Svarim, every good midah also has a bad side, if you use it too much. And the negative side, or the dangerous side of chesed is you can't say no. He said, your tikkun in the world, he said, is that you're going to have to put chesed into the world in a good way. Start a gemach, and, you know, become a bikurcholim, but you're going to have to undo this negative chesed of not saying no. And something, you know, something touched her neshama. After that, I forget what she did. I think maybe she did start a gemach or something. And not immediately the next day, but the girl started coming back to herself. It boils down to the Mikdash more than even. And the Beis HaMikdash gives us that booster to help us be in the midah so that we can fulfill our purpose in the world.